Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Your lawn could be under attack from an army. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Hey, Murph, how are you?
Good day, Mike. How are you?
Good. And we have a question from a GLT listener and a Grow listener, Kathy Sully of Bloomington, Illinois, about a pest.
Late in the afternoon, saw a lot of, I would describe them as little brown worms, or maybe more like caterpillars, skinny, most of them being probably 2 inches long, but gosh, you know, maybe at least 100 on the back patio, which was a lot. I mean, a lot.
On a neighborhood social media site, some posted about army worms, and she's pretty sure that's what she ended up, what ended up causing big brown patches as early as the next day. Murph, tell me about army worms.
Army worms are a group of worms, actually, because there's a, you know, group of, say, like three worms, the cutworm, the cornworm, and the army worm. They are all kind of from the same group.
So everybody sort of calls these three worms an army worm.
Yeah, and any of the three can show up in any of the places similar to the caller's question, right? So they're called army worms because oftentimes when they're encountered, they're seen in big groups all going in one direction, kind of like they're marching. So that's why they're called army worm, and they are from a moth. It's a larval stage of a moth.
So Kathy said she saw a lot of moths earlier in the summer before seeing the arrival of the worms. That could have been when the eggs were laid?
I think that's really the only way, because when you were planning the show, Mike, there was some discussion with the caller and myself about possibly having them come in a pot full of field soil or something like that. That's a possibility, too.
Well, I asked her about that, and here's what she had to say.
No, we have not, and I'm not aware that our neighbors next door to us, behind us, hadn't seen anything like that with the neighbors. So I would say no.
Then it looks like it was the moth.
So
right?
You think it was the moth then?
Airborne. It could have flown in from a field or a plot nearby.
So tell me about the life cycle of this worm. Are they harmful, more harmful at certain points in their life cycle than they are at other points? I assume the moth isn't doing damage.
They do have, the moths are kind of, at that point they become bird food, right? And the only hazard is they're laying eggs for more larvae. But the army worm in its early days, which would be during wet, cool periods in the early growing season, so that's mid to late spring. Early spring is too cold for them. But what happens is the egg is it's there and it can hatch, and the moth can lay as many as 8 bundles of eggs, you know, and over a period of time. So these eggs are hatching continuously throughout the growing season, almost into the heat of the summer. In the early days, in the larval stage, the army worm is feeding close to the ground, and that's when some of the other names come to play, like cutworm, and they're feeding on the plant where it emerges from the ground. So then it's interrupting relocation of nutrients, photosynthesis, and all those things. That's why the army worm can show stress in turf. But later on in its life, shortly after that ground feeding phase, it goes into eating the leaves of various crops, cabbage, corn, all different kinds, and has the little cutting mouth part on it so it can bore down and make like galleries in an ear of corn.
Mm. So they're also known as cutworms. Is that because they're working close to the ground and cut the grass or the vegetation off right at the ground, or is that because of the cutting mechanism on their mouth?
I say it's either, because I don't know for sure what the, because there's a lot of rights that go into naming stuff, right? So, but they do have that cutting mouth part, so that could easily be the reason why.
There are a lot of them. That's how they get their name, an army worm. Is it easy to imagine that the next day you could start seeing brown patches as these worms sort of march through your turf?
I think that that's a reasonable outcome, because right now we're at the part of the growing season where in between the much-needed rains, it's hot, and any little setback, particularly in turf, it can be noticeable in a day, especially if you're someone that's paying attention. You can see that little browning, and the browning will occur in patches, where the worms are located.
How can a homeowner control these worms? The Sullys had a lawn service. They couldn't get there in time, at least not quickly enough for them to get rid of these worms, which sort of left her with a huge ick factor when she saw all these worms on her patio. So they went out and bought a commercially available pesticide.
Okay.
So I assume that's one way you could get rid of them.
That's one way to do it. And the IPM strategy that we talk about a lot, Mike, the use of synthetic chemicals is the last line of defense if you've tried other things or if you need to substitute time with money. You know, if you don't have the ability to use the BT or the milky spore, because that takes about 3 years for it to build up in your soil and be taken up by plants, that's one step. There's also pheromone traps and predator wasps that are biological controls. Admittedly, these are difficult to use outdoors.
So pheromone traps, that won't attract more of the pest to your yard?
Well,
and that's why I don't use them with Japanese beetles.
That's exactly the point. That's an excellent point you bring up. So the Japanese beetles, they're new pest, and that's the unintended outcome of setting up the traps, is that you attract every Japanese beetle in the county to your property, and they're flying.
You should put the pheromone traps in your neighbor's yards.
Right, you know, or out in the middle of the wilderness on the edge of the county would be a great spot, too, and that's something that the government could give us a hand with, actually. But the pheromone traps for the army worms, the pheromones are specific usually, so they don't attract needed pollinators and other beneficials. But pheromone traps, they don't last long when they're exposed to full sunlight and the little bit of dew in the morning or the water from irrigation or whatever, that makes them break down quickly.
So what would you do to control the army worm or eliminate it?
I think I would go with the horticultural oil alternative of neem oil. Neem oil is a botanical extract from a type of tree.
Can you spell that?
N-E-E-M. And I've seen it spelled with a G on the front of it before on packaging, but I'm pretty certain that N-E-E-M is the best spelling for that one. But it is something that will affect the various stages. So if you happen to be spraying where you see the army worms, you don't want to spray everything. You want to spray just where you're seeing the worms. It's likely that the neem oil will have a negative effect on any eggs that are there, too. Sometimes that's something that the synthetic pesticides can miss out on. But the neem oil is something that's inexpensive. It's easy to spray. Some people find the odor offensive. Other people find it to be quite pleasant. Hmm. So it's a preference and taste thing. But PPE is limited in requirements as far as spraying this. You mix it with water and spray it through a handheld sprayer for the greatest control. It's a great way to go. The ladybugs that we encounter here during the harvest time, they are good predators, but it's a little late in the game at that point. So around harvest time, those army worms are reaching their final molt and they're becoming moths and they're laying eggs for the next year.
And you said there was a wasp, a predator wasp, that could also help control these worms. Is that something you buy or something that, because I've done this before, I've planted a beneficial insect garden before that attracts those kinds of wasps that then attack worms and larvae and cutworms, things like that.
Yeah.
And that would be a longer process, but can you just go buy the wasp?
You can. You can buy the wasps, you can buy the lace wings, you can buy the ladybugs, all of these things. You could buy them
locally or mail order.
Mail order is the best way to get them through a horticultural supplier like Hummert or A.M. Leonard. That would be a great place to find those.
Okay, Murph, if you have any questions about army worms or other pests, you can submit them like Kathy Sally did at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about sod, removing sod, and why that might be a great route for you. Patrick Murphy is the host of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.